Chapter 3.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
In the last few verses of the chapter 2, we have the strong and clear teaching not to be subject nor followers of the man-made doctrines, teachings, ordinances. No one can add something to the teaching of Christ, and no man can teach anything better, clearer, closer to the will of the Lord God Almighty. All the good teachers, faithful teachers, zealous teachers of the Christian faith and gospel teaching are sub-teachers to the one and only supreme teacher of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all disciples, all students. To the apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was revealing the teaching of the gospel by his Spirit. Ever since that gospel has been recorded, the true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are learning from the written word of God, by the power and enlightenment of the same Spirit. In the verse number 9 of the chapter 2 we read, "In him, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the only Savior of the mankind, in him is dwelling all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So in his teaching is all the fullness of the true gospel of salvation. In the Epistle to Galatians, chapter 1, in the verses 8 and 9, there is a strong condemnation of deviating, changing, reshaping the gospel in any way. The pure gospel teaching is the property of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Any and every other teaching belongs to the world, that world to which we are supposed to be dead. And so, in the beginning of the chapter 3, the same message is being continued. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. How do we seek the things which are above? The gospel is a written book right here before me, down here, wherever I am. I think we read the gospel as the message from above. We respect and reverence that message as the message of the Almighty God, as it really is. We never consider the gospel message the same thing as any of the other messages here in this world. We must be careful not to confuse the Holy Bible with any other book. On the other hand, may the Lord keep us from religion. The Holy Bible is so holy that we never open it. We don't even touch it. We just look at it with reverence and some religious respect and never use it. That would be an open and direct offense in the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, "Work with this gift and talent that I am giving to you." New life in Christ is believing His word, obeying His word, striving to live accordingly, and prayerfully seeking God's guidance and power, wisdom and understanding, faithfulness and fervor to serve Him, to love Him, to adore Him, to do His will from the heart, to be obedient to His will in everything. The second verse is teaching, set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. What are the things that are above? What are the things that are on this earth? The commandments and teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ are from above. Everything else is below. Everything else is of this earth. There is no other way to heaven. All the children of Adam are dust, and to dust they shall return. New life, life everlasting, is in Christ and Christ alone. In the first verse, we seek to live the gospel. In the verse number 2, we pray to love the gospel. In the verse number 3, we are transferred into that higher sphere. In the flesh, with our feet, we are still walking upon the face of this earth, this ground. Our heart and mind is way above, where Christ, our treasure, is. We are dead to the world. Our life is in Christ. The world cannot see our life in Christ, but if they see our love and affection for Christ and our fellow believers, they will perceive there is something that they don't have, something greater, higher, more precious. In the verse number 4 is our battlefield, when Christ, our life, shall appear. Then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Of course, when the Lord Jesus Christ come with the myriads of heavenly hosts and with the numberless redeemed ones, in His magnificent, splendid, triumphant appearance. But not only that, even now, right here where we are, if in our mind and heart, in our faith and understanding, we see the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ as He is, way above everything that is deadly, dust returning to dust, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of life, the Redeemer of our souls. When we see Him as He is, What a glory and what a joy to be a child of the Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus our Savior. Yes, the world cannot see that. But if anyone will listen to our testimony, if anyone will believe the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ will reveal Himself to that believing soul. And then, with the Lord Jesus Christ, we, the humble servants of His, will appear with Him in that glory. Satan knows that. Devil is aware of that. Constantly he is aware of that. Even more than we are. And constantly he is trying to pollute our heart and mind with his seed, his intentions. Constantly he is striving to lift up our flesh and fleshly desires above our understanding of the Word of God. But here is the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ speaking through the writings of the Apostle Paul in the verse number 5 and on. Mortify therefore your members which are upon this earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. At times I wonder, how can it be? In the beginning of this epistle, in the chapter 1, Paul is writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. In the verse number 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. In the verse number 8, Epaphras declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Could it be that some of the brethren at Colossae were faithful, holy, righteous, godly, but some other brothers or sisters had all kinds of struggles? Perhaps so. On the other hand, I remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and verse 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now listen for a moment to Paul's description about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2, a few verses starting with the verse number 19.
But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel.
And now when the Apostle Paul is writing an epistle to Timothy, the first epistle, chapter 5, verse 2, to the same holy, faithful disciple, a loving and lovable fellow believer, entreat the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. If it was necessary or helpful to Timothy to be warned, reminded of that necessity, always striving for purity, always be on guard against any impurity. Maybe I am not, maybe you are not as pure as we think we are or as we pretend we are. When we live and walk in the light of the Word of God, in the power of the Spirit of Christ, we are safe, we are secured, but we are not immune against the onslaught, the attacks, the deception of the Satan. May the Lord keep us from trusting in our own purity, our own holiness, and always cast ourselves at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and pray for His purity and His holiness and our correction. Who would think that covetousness is idolatry? What about some small level, small degree of covetousness, just some selfishness? Is that a little idolatry? And what if the apostle is telling us that all of these, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, everything is idolatry? Lord, have mercy upon us. The smallest step in any of these directions is the step toward God's wrath and away from God's mercy and grace. In the verses 6 and 7, Paul is saying, for these things listed in the verse number 5, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which things, the which way of living, or in death. We also walked in the former times, when we lived in them, when we lived in darkness. But now we are in a different company, we have a different master. We are in the business of mortifying, destroying, killing mercilessly all these evil members of our old dead man. In the verse number 5, we have that multidimensional description of an awful life in darkness and death. We know that we were there, and I'm confident we didn't forget that. If we did, it's time to be reminded. In the verse number 7, we see it's our past. In the following two verses, verse number 8 and verse number 9, we see our present occupation. Even that is not very rosy, not very wonderful in appearance. Now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We have put off the old man. Then what about these things? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying one to another. In the verse number 10 he says, ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, obviously Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And then in the verse number 11 he says, in that new man, in that new life, there is no Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. What is being revealed here? Or what is hiding behind our godly faces? Or should I say, what is covered by the smiling, benevolent face of our outward godliness? If I am Gentile and I despise the Jews, or if I am a Jew despising the Gentiles, if I am circumcised looking down on the uncircumcised, or the other way around, if the people that are, quote, less civilized than me, unquote, if these people mean something less than my people to me, if I am a slave and if I hate the slave owners, or if I am a slave owner and I despise and look down the slaves, all of that has no place in the new life and in the heart and mind of the new man, the man of Christ Jesus. All of these unconverted notions, uncircumcised feelings, thoughts, affections, or the opposite of affections, belong to the old way. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, all of that is a trace or traces of idolatry. In the new life, in the true gospel, there is only Christ, and Christ is all in all. Since we have submitted to that truth, in the verse number 12, Paul is teaching us by the Spirit of Christ, keep putting on all of that as the elect of God, chosen, holy and beloved, His purchased possession, the souls that He has ransomed with such an awful and wonderful price. Put on bowels of mercies. Are we back at the beginning? What was the first thing we needed from the Lord coming to Him? Mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here we are again at the beginning. Every day, new beginning. In every situation, new beginning. Continually, on and on, putting on the bowels of mercies. And then continuing kindness. And along the way, don't take any credit. Be humble in your mind. Meek. Nothing is mine own. It's all the grace of God working in me. Mightily. I could say, what is so mighty about that? Yes. In spite of myself being mightily against the will and standards and the quality of life of Christ, the grace of God is working. Otherwise, I would be deep, deep in hell. Long suffering. As if the suffering we see in the body of Christ our Savior on the cross, that intense, awful suffering compressed in that hour hanging on the cross, has been stretched thin all over my lifetime in Christ the Lord here on this earth. In the verse number 13 he said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. But how did Christ forgive us? What we think we know is that we repented and we received forgiveness. What the Lord knows is far more complete. In the epistle to the Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 we find that God hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. By His forgiveness, the Lord made our repentance possible. Yes, we did repent for the things that we knew were wrong. Do we know the number of our sins? Do we know all the things that were wrong in our experience? Could it be that we know only a microscopic part of our guilt before God? Could it be that He forgave us the things that we cannot even imagine we did? But if He allowed us to run after sin, we would have been worse than the worst evildoers in this world. So, forgiving as Christ did forgive, we are actually forgiving on behalf of Christ, for Christ's sake. We desire and strive to please Him. When by the grace of God, strengthened and led by the Spirit of the Lord, we practice, we do all these foregoing activities in our spiritual daily walk, the following activity is already being done. It's already in the process. Verse 14, above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And so we united in charity, in the spirit of grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are walking toward perfection. We are following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are growing in His Spirit. We are growing in the knowledge of His Word and will. We are His children, His purchased possession, His beloved flock. And He is our beloved Lord and Master, whom we love and adore, and to whom we willfully, most gladly, submit and pray to the Father, give us grace and power to walk and follow our Lord and Savior, our Master, our only Redeemer.